Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruhu. Wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillah fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمد عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن تبدوا شيئا أو تخفوه فإن الله كان بكل شيء عليما قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يدخل الجنة قاطيء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. We are now on lesson number 49, discussing about wisdoms of action, especially pertaining to wuzu, taharat, and many aspects thus far have been discussed. For example, in lesson 48 we discussed what is the reason for washing the hands after awakening, and why must the ankles be washed perfectly properly in wuzu. Today's lesson we start discussing why is it necessary to be pure when performing salah. Because a person can say, and let alone a person can say, people are saying this, that no, these days, salat, you do not have to even go to the masjid, you do not have to go to the musalla, you do not have to do anything, but just sit in your office, sit in your chair, and contemplate for a few moments, a few minutes, and that is salat. And what they say, no, those days the Arabs should go for salat because they had nothing better to do. They had all the time in the world. And they were Bedouin. They had no business, no high-rise building, no underground trains, no MRTs and no fast-moving trains and no aircrafts and no airports. So they're not busy people. So thus, for them, it was logical for them to go and make some salah, like it was wasting time. And they justify it and say, no, we can just sit down, contemplate, no need for wuzu, no need for ghusl, no need for clean clothing, no need for qibla, no need for anything. However, that they have missed the point. Just like others have missed the point in many other aspects of Islam, they also have missed the point. And later on we will also discuss, when it comes to salat, that why Allah Ta'ala has made 5 salats, why Allah Ta'ala has told us to make the specified rakats, 2 in Fajr and 4 in Zohar and 4 in Asr and 3 in Maghrib and 4 in Isha. And then we will also discuss that why Allah Ta'ala has made Fajr, Fajr time, and Zohar, Zohar time, Asr, Asr time, Maghrib, Maghrib time, Isha, Isha time. Later on that we will also discuss that why the gappings between Zohar and Asr, and Asr and Fajr, Asr and Maghrib, and Maghrib and Isha, and Isha and Fajr, why these hourly gappings, all that, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala keep us alive, I will discuss all those things also. Today we are discussing why is it necessary to be pure when performing Salah. A hadith reported in Bukhari and Muslim states that the Salah of a person in the state of hadath, that is impurity, would not be accepted until he performed wudu. A hadith in Muslim states that no salat is accepted without purities. Another hadith narrated by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who states that a narration stating that wuzu is the key to Jannah. Al-wuzu, that is miftahul Jannah, miftahul salah, al-salah miftahul Jannah. Salah is the key to Jannah. Now what are the explanations of these hadiths? That these hadiths make it clear that purity is a precondition for the acceptance of Salat. There are two reasons for this. Attaining purity is a form of ibadat in itself. Wuzu has been associated with Salat because they both need each other. Wuzu has no significance without Salat, and Salat also has no value without wudu, because it is a precondition for Salat. Wuzu and Salat go hand in hand, and wuzu is a precondition because it is a ibadat itself. That is why if you go to my website alislam.co.za, you'll find my book Virtues of Wuzu, and therein you will find all the du'as that one has to read when washing the various limbs. If a person does not know those du'as, at least say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim upon commencing washing any of those limbs, and slowly, slowly learn those du'as, and learn also the meaning of those du'as and the significance of those du'as. Then you will realize that what is behind wuzu, its action, and every du'a will denote towards the wisdom and secret of the action itself. And wuzu, because it is purity of external, is linked to Salat, which is the purity of the inside. So wuzu is purity outside and Salat is purity inside. So they have got a affirmity, a link and an attachment. Because one is encouraging the purity of the outside, whilst the other is encouraging the purity of the inside. Therefore, there will be no significance of Salat without any purity. There will be no value, status, position, force, and no fructification of Salat without any proper, valid wuzu. Secondly, according to the Quran, Salat is amongst the signs of Allah, and showing reverence to the signs of Allah is a paramount symbol, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says very clearly that may yu'azzim shairillah, whoever honors the signs of Allah, acts which are unique to Islam, that this respect is because of taqwa of the hearts. Performing Salat in the state of wuzu denotes that a person honors Salah, which is amongst the signs of Allah. Just as handling the Quran with wuzu denotes respect for the Quran. Because Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi in another place in Hujjatullah Baligha states that there are signs of Allah under commentary of this ayat, that Quran is a sign of Allah, Kaaba is a sign of Allah, Salat is a sign of Allah, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a sign of Allah. And there is a jurisprudential rule that, for example, Juma is important Salat. So all the preparations for Juma will also be rewarding because of Juma. And Salat itself is a simple, unique feature of Islam. So all the preparations for the Salat will also be tremendously rewarding. So the preparations for any Salat, because you would honor the sign of Allah, will also be important, it will also be significant, and it will also be rewarding. And you will also honor Salat when you're making wuzu. And you respect Salat when you're making wuzu. For example, when you honor the court, then you prepare before you go to the court. And when you honor someone, you love someone, respect someone, honor someone, you're going to meet a esteemed personality, you're going to meet someone who is high-ranking, noble, pious person, you don't dress up in the short pants and go there, but you will try to dress your best. That is why when the adab of visiting Masjid and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the adab of going into the haram for the first time and all the time, you don't go wearing pajamas into Masjid and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or wearing pajamas and going into the haram, or wearing pajamas and going into the masjid, because of the honor. Who are you going to meet in Masjid and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So you take ghusl, you put your best clothing on, you apply ether, you comb your hair, you look neat, tidy, and then you present yourself. Why? All these other actions that you are doing, ghusl, you are cleaning yourself, you're putting ether, putting nice clothing, and you're preparing yourself and going, is in honor of who you're going to meet. Just like also when you go to the haram, you don't go there haphazard, slip-dash, but you go there properly attired, nicely. And that is why, when you go for salat, then you go not bareheaded, not short sleeves, not with short pants, but you go dressed properly. You go long sleeve, hat, if possible, turban, and then you go and perform your salat. All that is done in honor of what? Salah. Because salat is unique and is a symbol of Allah, is a sign of Allah, is a unique feature related to Allah Ta'ala. Quran Kareem. Why we have to handle it with wuzu? Why we must face the Qibla and read the Quran? Why we must not drop it, but you handle it, and you also kiss it? That is proven from Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala at whom, the kissing it, placing it on the eyes, and then putting it away. All that is proven and not an innovation. So, why we do that? We sit properly in front of the Quran, sitting with respect and ethics and mannerism, so that we honor the Quran. We have wuzu, and then we touch Quran. Let alone the clear text of Quran in Surah Waqia that we have to have wuzu in order to touch the Quran. But also, it is mannerisms, ethics, because these are the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, because of this, it is necessary that we be pure when we are performing salah. Now, the factors that nullify wuzu, they are of three types. These three types are muttafaq alayh and mukhtalaf fi and mansukh. We will discuss all these terms. Do not be worried. The first type of nullified factors, those factors that all the scholars agree upon, that means muttafiqun alay, they are those nullifying factors that all the scholars, sahaba, tabi'in, jurist, are unanimous about and are evident from the narrations of the hadith as well as from the practice of the Muslims. These factors are urine, stool, wind, semen, deep sleep, as well as everything associated with these, such as wadi, a clear discharge preceding seminal discharge, unconsciousness, insanity. All of these, I repeat, all of these, that means the passing of urine and stool and wind and semen, going into a deep sleep, as well as coming out of a clear discharge which precedes seminal discharge, unconsciousness, insanity. There's no differences amongst the ulama, amongst the scholars. All of these concerning things that emerge from the two private parts or factors that create a possibility for such things to emerge, all the scholars agree that anything emerging from these two private parts nullify the wuzu. Now, we can make a discussion about these from the various narrations wherein Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about the coming out of urine and breaking of wuzu, etc. But prior to that, let us discuss why does sleep nullify wuzu. A lot of people would like to know that when a person sleeps, what that got to do with wuzu? Why must sleep, a act which every human being does, why that must break the wuzu? First of all, hadith, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala who said that the prop for the posterior is the eyes. Therefore, the person who falls asleep should perform wuzu. Another hadith, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala reports, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wuzu becomes necessary for the person who sleeps on his side. Because when a person sleeps on his side, his joints become relaxed. What are the meaning of these hadiths? Sleep nullifies wuzu for the following two reasons. When a deep sleep, the rectum also relaxes with all the other parts of the body, and the possibility of wind emerging is very great. Although the wuzu breaks only when the wind emerges, because this will not be felt when a person is sleeping deeply, the Sharia has made this cause, deep sleep, a substitute for the actual nullifying factor, which is emergence of wind. See, we can gather from the hadith that the joints become relaxed. Now when the person sleeps, then the entire body is relaxed. The joints become relaxed. The rectum also relaxes. And now the person is not focused. The person does not know that if any wind is coming out or not. The person cannot with certainty say that whilst I was asleep, nothing happened. No, because surely something could have happened, and the person, because of sleep, because of the joints being relaxed, the body being relaxed, the rectum being relaxed, then there is a great possibility of wind discharge. And now the Shariat has given preference over this because of the importance of purity. Because Allah wants us to be pure. There must be no doubt in our purity. Therefore, the Shariat has made deep sleep a substitute for emergence of wind. Secondly, sleep causes mental weakness, as would be noticed in people who sleep too much. That is why the Shariat does not want us to be lazy, lethargic, lackadaisical. And this is caused by sleeping, oversleeping. This means that sleep really causes impurity in the literal sense, which is the discomfort and repulsion that is felt by the soul, because sleep leads to laziness and lethargy. Wuzu is therefore necessary to invigorate, to vibrate, to refreshen the soul once again. Because the sleep causes mental fatigue, mental weakness, and this affects the soul. Weakness of the mind affects the soul. If you see, notice a person who's got a headache or his head is sore, if a person is unfortunately taken some medicine and now his head is spinning, if a person is dizzy, if a person is going faint, if a person has become unconscious, if a person unfortunately has taken heavy dose of medicine due to necessity, then he's not focused and is experiencing mental weakness, then this is repulsive to the soul. A person, for example, he is not focused and he is mentally weak. He cannot focus on his salat, got headache, etc. Cannot focus. Why? Because the head state influences the soul, and the wuzu will revitalize the person, and the wuzu will vibrate that person, and the wuzu will create for that person a boost and will remove the ill effects of the sleepiness. Another question that comes now: why is wuzu necessary after the clear fluid discharge which precedes the semen discharge? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, I was a person who often discharged madi, and since I was married to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, I felt very embarrassed to ask him about it. I therefore had Miqdad ask on my behalf. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the person should wash his private parts and then perform wuzu. The emergence of madi therefore necessitates wuzu and not ghusl. First of all, what we learned from this: shyness, ethics, mannerism, embarrassment, which unfortunately has gone from us, gone from our society and our social fabric. And unfortunately, you'll find that these days, because of secular education, television, immorality, immodesty has become the order of the day. Here, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who is feeling shy to ask his father-in-law, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a question. But these days, that so much of nonsense and immodest statements are made openly between in-laws, between son-in-law, father-in-law, daughter-in-law, son, daughter, it is unbelievable. And then, yeah, also historically, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who it is reported that he should have his head shaved all the time, because he thought that coming out of madi necessitated ghusl. And remember, it is not hot all the time in Medina, cold also. And that was because of pouring of water on the shoulders and back was causing scars and tearing his skin. Therefore, he had decided to remove his hair. Now, wuzu is necessary after the discharge of madi, because it usually emerges when arousal begins and is the preliminary stage before actual ejaculation. Since it is a pursuer to the ecstasy of ejaculation and really is a form of ecstasy of a lesser type than ejaculation, it should therefore necessitate a form of purity but of a lesser degree than ghusl, which is wuzu. So, because it is linked to the coming out of semen, because when semen comes out, then ghusl is necessary. And inevitably, semen comes out because of ecstasy. And because of the ecstasy, the semen comes out and ghusl is necessary. But this fluid which comes out before the semen, which is a transparent fluid, that will necessitate wuzu, which is lesser degree than ghusl, because semen is actually coming out of due to ecstasy. And this comes out, although not because of ecstasy, but it is now preceding ecstasy, or it is going to initiate the actual ecstasy. Therefore, a lesser order has been placed on it, that is wuzu. However, that we must know that if urine comes out, wuzu is necessary. And if urine falls on the cloth or body, then the cloth or the body will become napak, impure, it has to be washed. And if madi comes out, then obviously a person will make wuzu. And it is in the same order of urine, meaning if this discharge, which precedes seminal discharge, comes out, then it falls onto the cloth. The cloth has to be washed. The cloth will become impure. Therefore, it has to be washed. And if it falls onto the body, then the body has to be washed. Then semen, that would necessitate ghusl. And it got the same law as urine and madi. That means if it falls on the cloth has to be washed. And if it falls on the body has to be washed. The fourth substance comes out from the male and female, that it is after the semen, obviously, that because already semen broke wuzu and ghusl, but the order for that one is same as urine, as madi, as semen, and as normal, that when it falls onto the body will have to be washed. If it falls onto the cloth has to be washed. Now, alhamdulillah, in our discussion this week, we have discussed that, first of all, why is it necessary for us to be in the state of purity when performing salah? And then we have started discussing the first type of factors which nullify wuzu. And this factor all agree upon it. And alhamdulillah, we have discussed why does sleep nullify wuzu, and why is wuzu necessary after madi emerges. So, as normal, what we do is quote the ahadiths pertaining. And most of these ahadiths which we quote are from Mishkat. And then the logical explanation of these ahadiths rendered by the great scholars of Islam, Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, elucidated by Allama Sayyid Panipuri, Damat Barakatuhum, who is the current Shaykh al-Hadith of Darul Uloom Deoband. Inshallah, when we come back next week for lesson number 50, we discuss wuzu will be nullified only when one is certain that impurity has occurred. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين.